reading to you from the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, and with the 19th verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, one year later God called me to preach. I'm asking you tonight to pray for us. Pray for me and my wife as we go to prisons. And pray for our broadcasts and pray for our tape ministries that we'll be able to help people. Oh, friends, I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I will tell you how to get saved, and I'll tell you how he saved me. Now, a lot of people don't think God can save an alcoholic, but my Bible says he can. He can save anyone who'll call upon him. That's the truth. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour. I hope you'll kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and have a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and let's begin reading with the 13th verse. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of the righteous, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, dear friends, I don't normally do this, but tonight I'd like to say a few words about the devil. Now, I know that people have him all dolled up in a red suit with a pitchfork in the ears. That's a joke. Oh, that's a joke. I'll tell you the truth. Satan is a beautiful person. He'd have to be to convince people. See, the devil is not in hell yet. But I'll guarantee you, it isn't going to be too long. And those of us who have been born again will have the privilege of seeing Jesus casting him out into the bottomless pit where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Beloved, do you know one of the greatest powerful things that Satan does? He tells people there is no hell. That's the truth. If he can convince you that there is no hell, I will guarantee you he's got a victory over you, if he can tell you that. But there is a hell. Now, the hell was not prepared for you and I. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, however. Man sinned in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They were cast out of the garden. And you and I, who are born in this world, we possess the Adamic nature. And the only way it could be changed is when we meet Jesus. The rise of satanic religions in these last days. Let me tell you what it says in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 1st verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they don't believe in eating meat. And the Catholics don't believe in their priests getting married. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. And I'm not here to put them down. I'm telling you, Satan has got those people completely bamboozled. People are involved with seducing spirits. Oh, listen. People accepting doctrines of demons. Hey, listen. Have you ever been down to Haiti? That place is one of the most demonic places in the world. They can put a hex on you. And if you really believe that and someone puts a hex on, I'll guarantee you'll die if you really believe it. Oh, Satan is so cool. Well, the devil is more dangerous when clothed with respectability. How can we recognize our enemy when he is in disguise? What is the devil doing when in his best dress suit? You know, over there in Vietnam, where my son was, and a lot of American men gave their life during that war, you see, they didn't know who the enemy was. They did not know who they were. A little child could be carried by his daddy, and on his back could be strapped a hand grenade. When we made our landing on Okinawa that morning, Easter Sunday, so many years ago in World War II, and we took all those brave young Marine boys, and 3/4 of them lost their lives that day in Okinawa. Did you know what those Japanese, they would swim out to our ship with dynamite strapped to their back and detonate themselves against the ship and blow our ships up. So what did the Navy do? They put patrol boats to circle all those ships that were at anchor unloading our stores and unloading our troops. Oh, we've got that now. Oh, I tell you, the demons of hell are in those Muslim radicals and those clerics who supposed to be the religious leaders of the day. Oh, friends, if I had my way, they'd take these people out, these Muslims, and send them back where they belong. You say, well, Cecil, don't you love Muslims? I don't love their sin, and I don't love their dangerous, damnable heresies that they're teaching their people. From the time those little kids are able to read and write, they're taught hate. To hate Americans, to hate the Jews, to hate anything that's good and decent. Hey, isn't it strange that these leaders, Muslim leaders and these terrorists, they can talk young men and women to strapping explosions on their back and go blow up somebody. But you don't catch them doing that, do you? Oh, no. Just these poor, simple-minded people that believe their leaders, that they're going to be 17 virgins or how many in heaven waiting for them. Only thing is, they're not going to go to heaven, not unless they've been born again. They will not go to heaven. He's trying to complicate the gospel. Verse 13. Let me see here. Verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He'll make them believe that he's telling them the truth. Oh, yes, he will. But you see, the wonderful, simple gospel message is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We are saved by faith alone, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're a born-again person and you know that Scripture, you're equipped to go out and introduce a man or a woman to Christ. False teachers add works or law-keeping to grace. Hey, listen. How many times have you heard me and a million other preachers say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I know a lot of religions that teach that you can get to heaven by being good. Just work your way in there. Then we have the law keepers. Oh, I went to a service one time and to this law-keeping church, and he preached a beautiful sermon on the law, but grace never entered into it. See, salvation is a gift given to you by Almighty God. Can't earn it, can't buy it. You have to receive it by faith. By, what is the one of the secret? Repent. Tell God you're sorry for sins. Invite him into your heart and ask him to save you. And I'll guarantee you, your life will never be the same. False teachers add works or law-keeping to grace. And this happened to the Galatians. Remember, Paul went down and he preached up a storm and led many of those people in Galatia to Christ. After he left, boy, the law-keepers come in there and they just tore those Galatians up. And Paul said, "Who has done this to you?" Paul pointed out the error of their teachings. And listen, law keepers, I don't hate you. I feel so terribly sorry that you cannot understand grace. Do I understand grace? Absolutely not. Grace is unmerited love. We do not deserve salvation. But he gives it to us if we will repent and call upon him. He'll give us eternal life. The devil's argument sounds so convincing. Sounds like a higher stand of holiness. He ridicules being saved by grace through faith. Adding to the gospel is taking away from it. We heard that a minute ago. To add anything to faith reduces faith's power. Adding works or legalism subtracts from grace. We have to hold to the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, he's contradicting the message of the cross. Yes, he is. He certainly is. The devil hates the message of the cross. You know why? You see, he at one time thought there was a possibility that he could take God over, but he couldn't do it. Oh, he tried. Oh, yes, he did. So God had to cast him out. Satan temporarily deceived Peter about the cross. "Well, be it far from thee, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan." There are only two religions, and listen to me very carefully, two religions. Satan's religion says, "Do this and live." Now get this, "Do this and live." Christ says, "It's done. Believe and live." Wow, what a difference. But Satan is so cool. Man, he's cool. Hey, have you ever dealt with a Satan worshiper? Let me tell you about my first experience when dealing with one. I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And we had apartments, and we took in men and women. Of course, the women slept in up in apartments, and the men slept down in the dormitory. But this beautiful girl, about 18, 19 years old, came into my office and says, "Preacher, I'm hitchhiking on the road, and someone said if I'd come here, I'd get a free meal and put up for the night." I said, "That's true, you sure can." So I gave her the key to the apartment upstairs and told her to go on up, and I said, "You can come on down for dinner tonight, and you can have breakfast in the morning before you leave." Well, you know, I got to thinking about that little girl. She was about the age of my teenage daughter, and I thought, man, I don't want my daughter out on a highway hitchhiking. My stars in the morning. So I sent a message up there that I wanted to talk to her. So she came down in the office, and I said, "Young lady," I said, "I've got a daughter about your age, and I'm concerned about you being out there on a highway hitchhiking. You don't know what you're going to run into. I wonder what your mom and your dad thinks." And I said, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. And all of a sudden, her face transformed into a demon of hell. She got ugly and ugly, and I couldn't believe it. She said, don't talk to me about Jesus. I'm a Satan worshiper. I gave the devil my soul. Oh, my stars in the morning. Well, there's nothing more you could say after that. Did you know what she did? She came in that morning and had breakfast. And we had a young man about 20 years old that lived at the mission. In fact, I helped buy him a car. She talked him into going with her. And I never saw him again. Oh, listen. Rejecting a cross appeals to some people. The cross seems too violent, too bloody. Some hymnals no longer contain songs about the blood. The only way of the cross leads home. Now, he is causing controversy amongst Christians. Now, Satan workers appear to be righteous. Many who cause trouble in churches sound so right. Bitterness and strife are from the devil. You know, here's a church that's on fire for the Lord. They got a godly pastor. They got good deacons. They got good Sunday school teachers. And all of a sudden, bang, there's division amongst the brethren. The next thing you know, there's a split in the church. One guy takes the church one way, leads the people go that way. Well, Satan was behind that, and he started and he got it going. See, the devil tries to divide and conquer. Troublemakers often appear to be super spiritual. They may appear to be super spiritual, but if you ask the Lord to reveal what they are, he'll show you. He'll show you the devil's people. When Christians forgive one another, the devil is absolutely defeated right on his own ground. Forgiveness would revive most churches. Putting away strife pleases the Lord. Oh, listen, friends. I told you about my stepmother who I hated so badly, and she hated me, and she beat me and locked me in the basement and would abuse me. Oh, friends, listen. I hated that woman for so many years. 45 years I carried that hate in my heart. One day I met Jesus. And you know, God puts love in your heart when Jesus lives in there. And I had to call my stepmother, and I had to tell her I was sorry. She never told me she was sorry, but my responsibility was to tell her I was sorry that all these things happened. And I also told her that I loved her. Oh, you think Satan wasn't ticked off? I hope to say he was. Listen, friends, if you've got hate in your heart or won't forgive someone, your prayers are not going to get answered. They will not until you make it right. I had a wonderful brother in Christ. I loved him like nothing. He was very good to me and my family. He gave money to my ministry so that I could preach. One day he turned against me. No one knows how, why, or what. I wrote him a letter. I called him on the phone. He wouldn't talk to me. And so I wrote him a letter, and I said, my dear brother, I love you like no other brother. I don't know what happened, but I do know that you won't talk to me and you won't answer my mail. But I won't tell you one thing, son. You didn't walk your talk. Now, you leave your gift at the altar and you make things right with me. If I've done something wrong, please tell me and I'll make it right. I don't know of anything I've ever done to you. He never did call me back. And I suppose his prayers will never be answered until he comes back to do what God said. Friends, God tells us what to do. We don't have to be the smartest people in the world. He tells you in the Bible how to live. He tells you how to die. He tells you how to give. He tells you how to go. It's all in the book. You got to read it. Find a good church and a good Sunday school teacher that really loves people, and you grow in grace. Get you a good study Bible. I like a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. A lot of people don't, but I sure do. Boy, it's a good Bible to study. Well, recognize the devil when he comes appearing respectable. Resist him when he appears in his best dress suit. Take him to the cross where he was defeated by Jesus. Christ will someday expose the devil for what he really is. Rejoice! We are going to heaven, and the devil is going to hell. You're going to heaven only after you've been born again, if you invited Christ in your heart and repented of your sins. That's the only way you're ever going to get into heaven, dear friends. Listen, let's supposing tonight that you don't know Jesus. Let's supposing that you know about him. You've been to church. You've been to Sunday school. You might even give to the church financially. But deep down in your heart, you've got sin, you've got guilt. You won't have guilt after you invited Christ into your heart. He'll erase that guilt. He'll wash away all your sins and cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again. So tonight I ask, if you've got a tugging at your heart and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I want you to pray tonight to receive Christ. But I urge you, please don't pray it unless you really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on a phone. Call 303-471-8534. And let me talk to you. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and ask you for any money or write and ask you for any money. And beloved, I really don't care where you go to church. Oh, but I'm concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. If you feel I can help you, be sure and give me a call. I'm waiting by my phone.
Yeah.
Well, friends, for the past hour, half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I do want to thank you for listening. Please pray for me and my wife as we go to prisons and as I go to rescue missions. You know, at 81 years old, you say, well, why don't you quit, Cecil, and get in a rocking chair? Hey, listen to me. There's too much work to be done. I'm not a rocking chair preacher. I have to go. I have a little electric scooter, and I put my oxygen bottle in, and away we go to prison. Oh, listen, friends, Christ means so much to me. He did so much for me when he died for me. He did a lot for you when he died for you. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.